The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then a lawyer stood up and to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer replied to him, and Jesus replied to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus replied, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. By God's great mercy, Miles and Zella have been given a new birth in the waters of baptism. Through these waters, we know God as the one who shows us mercy. What a profound and everlasting gift they and we have on account of this God, who not only gives us this gift, but who raised Jesus Christ from the grave. St. Peter, I think, said it best about our life in God and really about our life through this gift. For through these waters, Miles, Zella, and all of us have 1 received a living hope? Have 2 received an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading? That, 3, which continually demonstrates that we are being protected by the power of God through faith. And it's this last point, faith, that I will be speaking to you about today. Beyond all churchy language that we just heard St. Paul speak through us and for us, we hear the gospel for our world today, struggling to make sense of what it means to have faith, hope, and love. Every moment that we wake up, every time we get in the car and we drive to work, or we wake up and we put the kettle on the coffee and we get some coffee ourselves. There is a power in these 3 words. Luther says something about this power, the power of faith in this gift of baptism. He says clearly it's not the water that does it, but the Word of God, which is with and alongside the water, and faith, which trusts that this word of God is in the water. There is a power that is active and present in these waters, but really, does this water make any difference for us when we're faced with this daily grind? Does my water bottle, when I pick it up and drink it, provide more than just simple refreshment to my thirsty soul? Or in other words, what I'm asking is this gift of baptism the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen? And to that end, I want to bring you a story that I think will elucidate this gift, this power of faith. There was a person who was like us in every single way, returning home from worship on a Sunday. And on their way, they were pulled over on the side of the road and beaten. And all of a sudden, a van of folks pulled up, also coming home from worship. And instead of getting out to help, they decided to turn into the other lane and drive off. And likewise, there's another family of folks. They see the car and likewise do the same. And finally, there's another motorist. We'll call him the Good Samaritan. Pulls behind that car and does what I think most of us would do. Dial 911 and stay until this motorist is taken away. In this brief retelling of the Good Samaritan story, I think here lies the nature of faith. In each and every one of these cases, every one of these motorists reacted just as any one of us would. Right? Some degree. And yet we hear how Jesus commends the Good Samaritan for his pity, for being, as he says, quote, a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers. So then where does faith arise? And what is faith? Is faith, in comparison to love, an empty term? Is love and pity and mercy stronger than faith itself? Here's my first point. Faith is awareness. It is an awareness that we need salvation. That we need salvation. And second, it is an awareness that it is God who brings that salvation. That the one who made us and who redeemed us is now saving us, even from our own selves. And we hear that really in the first lesson. We hear the nature of faith in the first lesson. When Peter quotes from David saying, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Awareness. Awareness that through our daily lives, every moment, even when we're at the chopping board, or when we're going to work and there's a stressful work meeting, or when we're retired and we hear not so good tidings about our grandchildren, through all this, there is where the awareness that is faith arises. That there is, if you would, a conviction of faith. Because we may not know what will be the outcome or the next moment. But we are assured that the God who has made us, that the faith that we have in this awareness, right, is bringing about the salvation of our very souls. This does not mean that we endure all things as if they are coming from God or they have all some kind of beneficial purpose. Rather, faith is an awareness. It is a power of God that allows us to leap forward every moment in the life as if we know that when we step, there is God. As if we move, there are waters that surround us and lift us up. It's as if every time that we commend our children and our grandchildren to God, we know that there are waters that are rising, that rose up, that saved Noah and his family. But you may ask, isn't this just wishful thinking? Isn't this desensitizing us from the real work of attending to how things really are in this life? We would say many of the Thomases of this world would say, let me see the marks. Let me see the side. Let me see how the world is truly suffering. And then perhaps I'll believe. You remember the story of Thomas? Doubting Thomas? We typically read it this Sunday, but one of our wonderful families requested the Good Samaritan. But the story of Doubting Thomas goes like this. It is the first day of the week, and the disciples were in a self-imposed house arrest. They were afraid to take that leap, to realize the gift of faith. They felt that the only thing in life that mattered was that they were on the losing end, just as their master himself had died. And yet, suddenly, as if out of nowhere, there appears Jesus behind closed doors and announces to them not once, but three times, peace. And he sends them as apostles. He breathes on them the Spirit. He commands them to forgive. He's basically saying, take the leap. Faith is here. I'm giving it to you. And yet we know that Thomas is not present. So when Thomas finally joins them, he himself says, I am not convinced. Perhaps many of us are not convinced by the words that I'm telling you. And yet Jesus obliges. And a week later, he tells Thomas, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And here is my second point and my last point about faith at this point. This point. Faith is confidence. A confidence that is not born of our own strength or perception, but it is a confidence given to us by Christ. And this is how Christ says and pronounces to us this gift. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have taken the leap to believe. Here's how Peter says it. This Jesus God raised up, and of that, all of us are witnesses. All of us have taken the leap. And this is how the Samaritan expresses this faith-filled confidence in this way. He went to him, the person on the side of the road, and bandaged the person's wounds. Faith. Faith as awareness and confidence. I'm not speaking to you about confidence in the sense that there's a self-assurance, but it's that kind of confidence that in those moments in life, it feels like we're being pulled. As if we're being drawn out of ourselves to make an action we might not understand exactly what we're doing. That we're being pulled out of ourselves and plunged into the great unknown. We're being drowned by life and raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. That, my siblings, is not only faith, it is baptism. Baptism that is daily, a reminder that we are drowning. And thanks be to God that we are drowning. Because we have the confidence that we will rise. And we are confident that we will not just breathe the Holy Spirit. We will live in the power of the Spirit and not gasp for air. This great gift has been entrusted not just to Miles and Zella, but all of us. And there's a great calling for us to accompany these two beloved children along this path of life with its uncertainties and its certainties. For we know that it seems like every moment we are weighed down with something new, we have an unfading gift of water. So reach out, get some water, maybe tap water, maybe Evian, any water you see. There's power in that water, an awareness, a confidence, a faith that cannot help but say, my Lord and my God. Amen.